Wesleyan College in Macon has a largely distinguished history, but it is no stranger to racial tension. In January, racist remarks were found scrawled on a dormitory wall. Since then, information has been made public about the school's past ties to the Ku Klux Klan. That history came to light as part of research by students at Wesleyan. Karen Huber is a history professor there and led the student effort to learn more about racist episodes in the school's past. She's also doing her own independent research into the matter, and she joins us now. Karen, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good to have you on the program. Also with us from member station KERA in Dallas is Wesleyan College alum Dana Almahier. She is now an interactive editor for the Dallas Morning News. Dana, good to have you on the program.
Good to be here.
Dana, let me start with you. We're going to spend the first few minutes here sort of dissecting what you and Karen learned, what you uncovered. But take me back to 2006. You were, I believe, a freshman at Wesleyan.
Yes.
You're sleeping one night, and what wakes you up?
Well, what wakes me up is the sound of my dorm mates all herding to the auditorium on campus. When you walk in, it's dark, there are drums beating, there are girls chanting and screaming, and there are girls lined up on stage in purple robes with hoods. It's sort of just a surreal experience.
What did you make of it? How was it explained to you?
There wasn't a whole lot of explanation at the time. It was just sort of a little bit of a free-for-all. I started getting pieces of information over the next few days that it was a ritual of the college to bring together the first-year class. But from what I experienced, it had a very strange way of trying to bring everyone together.
Strange meaning what? What did you come to understand that ritual to be?
So the ritual is actually known as Lynx. It used to be known as Rats. Basically, the sophomore class takes it upon themselves to teach the underclassmen about the traditions of Wesleyan, teach us cheers and things, but it's done through a bit of scare tactics. It's the sophomore is trying to exert control over the freshman class in kind of mean ways, like just being very passive aggressive, wanting us to do things for them without question, that sort of thing.
Karen, let me come to you. How did your research project start?
Well, in 2015, I was teaching a public history class, and I asked the students what they were interested in doing, and this group of students was particularly interested in looking at the history of race at Wesleyan, and in particular, the history we didn't talk about. So there's a lot of talk about the first five African-American graduates who started at Wesleyan in 1968. They wanted to look at African-Americans at Wesleyan before the first five. So we started to do research on employees and even enslaved people who would have worked at the college or been enslaved by the college. And we tried to find evidence about that, and that eventually led us to looking at a much larger project that took in the long view of race and some really problematic history that we found for the college.
And Dana, look, I want to push you on this a little bit here. For more than a century, you came to realize that your school, the nation's oldest college, mm-hmm. chartered for women, had this historical linkage to the Klan. When did
yes.
that become clear for you?
That became clear for me actually working for the Office of Admissions, starting the end of my freshman year. And into the rest of my years at Wesleyan. One of the things that we were tasked with doing was giving campus tours to prospective students. And part of that was being able to answer their questions. So I had questions myself in order to be able to help them about the history of the school and things as simple as where our class names came from.
Yes.
So it was a little surprising to me to find out that our Red Pirate class, since every class has a name and a color, used to be called the Tri-K's, and immediately bells go off in my head that Tri-K's, I grew up in the South, I mean, it's Ku Klux Klan, this is not hard to put together, but it's something that's just not really talked about.
What was your emotional reaction to learning this?
I was stunned. I was really stunned. But at the same time, I was a little irritated that nobody really talked about this, that it was just sort of, it was something that I really had to push to get answers about.
Karen, how did this linkage come to be, this linkage between the college and the Klan? What does your research tell us?
Well, this was one of the key questions that I wanted to answer when I continued with the research that my students started. So I was commissioned by the college to actually figure this out this past year. And what I found was that in 1909, the first class graduated that claimed the KKK Ku Klux Klan name. And that group seems to have been inspired by a series of novels written by Thomas Dixon in 1902, 1905, and 1908 that were immediately turned into plays. The plays were played in Macon in 1905 and 1908 as The Klansman and The Traitor. And those plays inspired the 1915 film, The Birth of the Nation. So these are plays that very much romanticize and glorify the Ku Klux Klan, which at the time was in kind of a lull. And so it looks as though these women may have had relatives who were also Klan members from their earlier, more active years after the Civil War and through Reconstruction. But it looks as though these women came back from this fun play with 75 people on stage and two boxcars of scenery that was a major social event in Macon, and decided that this is what they wanted to model their class name after. And the really troubling part is that these women made this decision that was not changed until very late in the century.
Well, if you're just joining us, we're talking about a troubling racial past at Wesleyan College in Macon. Karen Huber is a history professor there, and Dana Amahir is a Wesleyan College alum. She's joining us from Dallas. Professor Huber, did the college at any point attempt to shut down this research?
No, they paid for it, in fact. So I know that I've heard since this research came out from students who felt like they, in the past, have not been given access. However, you know, it would be very bad if they denied access to a professional historian who's on the faculty. So my experience hasn't been one of denial, although I respect and want to acknowledge that there are students who have had a different experience of that.
Yeah.
So no, they haven't shut me down. They actually supported it. But, you know, it's late. We should have done this years ago. I think Dana's article that she wrote as a student in 2009, that might have been the first time I heard about this. But certainly there were people on campus who knew about it before that. And, you know, in my research, I've found evidence from 1948 when there was an article in the class newspaper where they talked about whether or not they ought to rename the class and whether or not KKK still stood for Ku Klux Klan. And they bring up the idea that, oh, well, maybe now it's about, let's see, what is it? Catherine's Campus Cuties, named after some professor. So they seem to think that you can just sort of erase it and make it stand for anything.
So your new president, Vivia Fowler, is quoted in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution last month saying essentially what you just said. We probably should have done it 20 years ago, and the it is apologize. But we didn't. So we're doing it now. We can't ignore what happened in the past. Dana, why has it taken so long with all of this now documented history to apologize?
I wish I knew. I know that the resources that I had available to me when I was a student and when I was editor of the campus newspaper, all of this information lived in our archives, but no one ever decided to acknowledge that this material existed. Or that it tracked a less than perfect history of Wesleyan. Even when you start to ask questions, it was not exactly encouraged for you to go seek out these things. It was more of a, you know, they're there. That's not really something that we need to talk about. I think it's long overdue. It's so long overdue, and it's something that could have been easily addressed, I think, years and decades ago.
Do you have a thought on that, Karen?
Yeah, I agree with Dana. I actually, the process of watching my students in 2015 go through the archives and find this material and, you know, find evidence, you know, they found evidence of us hiring out a slave boy in 1861, an enslaved person who, you know, was hired out, which means that Wesleyan's faculty and Porter paid his master, not him, to work on the college. All of that was very empowering to the students as they did this research, and it would have been a great learning process to have had students go through much earlier. So I think that Dana's right, that there was this sense on campus of not wanting to talk about it, but we're late to the game, but now we want to talk about it, and we're going to make sure that happens.
Sure, and this is more of a statement from the Wesleyan administration. During the process, quoting now, during the process of uncovering and discussing our institution's past, we have learned of many things we still need to work on today. We are committed to inclusion, equality, and social justice for every member of the Wesleyan community. We hope that all members of our community will help us move forward with our goal of creating a community where all are able to know, trust, learn from, and care for one another. Our story is one of hope, where the lessons of history make us stronger, end quote. So, Karen, what does moving forward look like?
Well, that's a good question, and that's actually my part of moving forward means listening and asking questions. So this is where I'd love to use your venue to say to any Wesleyan alums out there that I have two classes who are getting trained next month on how to conduct oral history interviews, and we would love to collect the stories from Wesleyans of all ages who have stories to tell us either about race or just their experience in general. And we'd love to hear from them to get a more complete picture. We only have the picture of the documents that are in our archives right now, and we want to hear from everybody. So that's part of it, is just listening. But I think we also need to take a really hard look at the privilege that those of us who are white and middle class and educated have, and think about ways that we can acknowledge that privilege and help others who don't have that privilege navigate our world better. And I think that's something we kind of ignore in our little Wesleyan bubble.
Dana, what are your thoughts on this? What does moving forward look like?
I am really, really, I'm touched by the fact that Dr. Huber's research and her students are looking to find oral histories of other Wesleyans. I'm hoping that that by finding all of these different voices of alums, that we can find some more diverse voices to add to the conversation. And by having those more diverse voices, hopefully that will motivate the administration and folks on campus to make this a constant ongoing discussion rather than something that's more like a one and done conversation. I hope it's something
that
can get
absolutely important.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it's something that can get weaved into the fabric of Wesleyan and not be something that is just a one-off.
Yeah, this can't just be a unit in the first year seminar. This has to be something we do every day, that we live every day.
So I guess I wonder about the commitment to that, because that all sounds great. But Professor Huber, look, your new president has been at the school for 10 years.
Yes.
Your outgoing president, Ruth Knox, in charge for what, 10, 15 years?
15 years. Mm-hmm.
15 years. What's the real commitment moving forward? These were people who were in positions of power who clearly knew something of the history, if they didn't know it in great detail, and yet we're just getting the apology. We're just now talking about moving forward. What's your real belief in the ability of the college and its leadership to move a more inclusive agenda forward?
Yeah, that's a great question. When we look at Wesleyan today and we look at our student body and we look at what we're trying to do with our curriculum, we don't resemble even 15 years ago, even 10 years ago when I started working there. We are trying to change, but you know, we are now a minority serving institution. We have a diverse student body. We have to do this or we're going to fail. We're going to stop being a relevant institution. So this isn't really a choice for us. We have to do this. And so I think this for us is a matter of realizing that there have definitely been some serious omissions in the past. I can't get into President Knox or President Fowler's head, but I think that there is a commitment from the new president. We have a new president, a new provost, and a new dean of students, and all three of them have a commitment to really making this a centerpiece of what we do as we move forward.
Is there more to learn here, Professor Huber, in your research?
Is there
another shoe or a couple of shoes to drop here?
Well, I don't think we're going to find something more than the Klan. I mean, you can't get much worse than that.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, as we move forward and look at the practices, especially the initiation practices that Dana mentioned, and the year we ended that, which was 1999, I think I had the opportunity to witness that, and I agree with her. It was really troubling. So as we move forward, I think we have to have a serious conversation about whether or not that name, the Pirates, which was the Tri-K Pirates, remains. And we also have to have a conversation about the way that we interact on campus and don't think about it. And we need to start talking about those interactions in a more serious way.
Well, thank you both. Thank you both for a wonderful conversation.
Thank you.
That's Karen Huber.
Thanks a lot.
She's a professor of history at Wesleyan College. Also with us was Dana Amahir, Wesleyan alum and now an interactive editor for the Dallas Morning News. Thank you both. Enjoyed this.